97.5, The Fanatic.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be dramatic with him.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Good evening, everybody. What is going on? Joe Torti, 97.5, The Fanatic, hanging out together until 7 o'clock and Flyers hockey. Dylan McKinnon is producing tonight. Flyers taking on the Devils tonight in a big game. Of course, the first of a back-to-back. They'll play the Maple Leafs tomorrow. And after the game tonight, we'll be hanging out together until midnight. Want to get into something that I was discussing earlier with Sal Palantonio. We were texting back and forth. And Sal texted me yesterday on Halloween. Now, obviously, you know, got the kids at home, figuring out the candy bowl situation. If you didn't hear about that, listen to yesterday's show because that was a full-on disaster. But I had a chance to chew on this because I didn't fire back immediately. But now that I'm thinking about it, I think that Sal's absolutely right. And I want to get your temperature on a take that, you know, I've been thinking about too. You know, about injured players and what you do and things like that. Because we were talking about who should come back, who should not come back, what do you do from a team-building perspective, how do you do things, right? The more and more that I think about it, and the more and more that we have been chewing on the return of important players, we've been looking at, for example, DeSean Jackson and when he's going to come back and how important he is, obviously, to the Eagles' offense. It turns out very important as they don't have another deep threat. DeSean Jackson hopes to play against the Bears. And the more and more that I think about this, I don't like this idea. I do not like DeSean Jackson playing against the Bears.
Cheaters don't stress.
Well, I know, but I stress. I stress, even if you don't stretch. You know, I stress about the fact that you don't stretch. You're kind of banged up. DeSean, you probably, Jason Avant said earlier on the radio station, probably should have had surgery as soon as the injury happened, because then, you know, maybe you come back, you're at full strength. Now, listen, DeSean Jackson knows his body, right? It's going to make the best decisions for him. There's no such thing as minor surgery, so no surgery is to be taken lightly. I get that 100%. But considering the fact that you do have the bye week, considering the fact that you have the chance to look and say, well, you'd have the Bears, who are kind of skidding. You have the bye week, and then you've got the Patriots. It suggests to me that it would have been a good opportunity to rest some of these injured players. And I'm not going to say, by the way, that the Bears are this god-awful team and that you should roll over this team without DeSean Jackson, right? What I am saying is that you've responded well against better teams than the Bears without having DeSean Jackson in the lineup. And the two games that we've kind of circled here down the stretch, the Patriots game, the Seahawks game, obviously the Dallas game is going to be absolutely monumental this year in terms of determining whether or not the Eagles are going to make the playoffs. It seems that getting DeSean Jackson as healthy as he's going to be for those games should be a priority versus getting him back as quickly as possible. Now, don't get me wrong. Are they a better team with DeSean Jackson? Absolutely they are. But I am worried that this is going to be an injury that lingers the entire way. And if you can buy two more weeks when DeSean Jackson's already feeling pretty good, it seems to me that he'd be ready and raring to go after the bye week when you do have those games against the Patriots and the Seahawks and then later on against the Cowboys. And by the way, the kind of toothlessness of the schedule freaks me out a little bit. Only because teams don't lose every single week. You know? Like, there are going to be some games where Washington wins, and you're like, how? That is like literally, I would say that Washington's the most dire situation in the NFL right now because the Dolphins are trying to not win. There's no indication that Washington's doing anything other than trying to win. They're firing their coach, making quarterback switches. They're trying to do everything, and they still can't get it right. So for me, I'm looking at those games, and I'm not saying that the Eagles are going to lose to Washington, but what I am saying is if you look at the schedule down the stretch and you think, ah, well, it's all cakewalks for the Eagles, how many cakewalks have the Eagles had so far? They haven't been a team that has really demolished lesser competition. The win against the Bills is a really good one. 31-13 was an excellent win in less than ideal conditions on the road against a team that had been playing pretty hot. You finish off against the Bears, you've got an exclamation point on the last 2 weeks, back-to-back wins. You start to put something together going into the bye week, and we know how good the Eagles have traditionally been after the week of rest. But you got the Patriots coming up on the 17th. It's going to be the national game of the week, 425. If DeSean Jackson's still dealing with a tweak or a pull or an agitation that he suffers as he's coming in and playing at 85% against the Chicago Bears, you have a significant problem. If Miles Sanders, who appears to be rounding into form in terms of being one of your very few long-range playmakers, one of your big play guys that you have, you run the risk of having that guy, one of the very, very few tools that you have that could create issues for New England, getting banged up, tweaked when you're playing the Bears, going into the bye, when you could have gotten a little bit of extra rest. It's something that I think, if they play, would be a tactical error by Philadelphia. I know that when guys are healthy, you want them to play. But this is not that hard of a sell to these guys saying, hey, we just really want to have you when we have to have you. Your phone number to join the conversation is 610-632-0975. If these guys come back in, DeSean Jackson and Miles Sanders specifically, if they come back, is that the right move by the Eagles? Or would you like to see them get a little bit more rest? As I heard a caller suggest during Mike's show today as well. Sit out the Bears game. Sit out the bye week, obviously. Come back strong against New England. It seems to me that that would be the easiest path that makes the most sense if you're trying to keep your team's playoff chances healthy. But we'll see. The Eagles haven't taken the conservative route all that often. They talked about the importance of pushing Sidney Jones with his injury and some of these other guys, right? So there's no reason to think that it'd be anything different when it comes to Miles Sanders, when it comes to Avante Maddox, when it comes to DeSean Jackson. But I do think if there is a situation and a team that you consider maybe holding these guys out, it might be the Bears. And not because the Bears are some kind of walkover, even though I do anticipate that the Eagles are going to have a strong game against them. But because the Bears are kind of a thumping team, physical, looking to beat you up and make contact, and when you've got guys who are already less than 100%, it seems like it might be a better idea to shield some of those playmakers from that kind of content, or that kind of contact, I should say, on Sunday. 610-632-0975. This is the Joe Torti Show, taking you until Flyers hockey right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, leading you into Flyers hockey. Flyers taking on the Devils tonight, and number one overall pick, Jack Hughes. Should be interesting. Also, Carter Hart will get the start tonight, as if Josh Rabick is out there listening, as we debated and I predicted, you start Elliott against the Penguins. As it turns out, it doesn't matter who you started against the Penguins because you're out of it. Just like how the Eagles fumbled like their first two possessions away against Dallas, so it didn't really matter what the rest of the game looked like. It was the same thing with Pittsburgh. So it didn't really matter. You come back with the kid tonight against the Devils, and then you have LA tomorrow against the Maple Leafs. That's going to be an interesting weekend here that the Flyers have put together here. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Should be a pretty good one tonight with the Flyers and the Devils. We'll get into that a little bit more as we approach puck drop. But we've got an NHL debut being made. All kinds of good stuff going on tonight. But in addition, we're talking about your Philadelphia Eagles and DeSean Jackson returning from injury. They're going to be counting on DeSean Jackson a lot more now than they might have had to. Because the other big news of the afternoon, which I'm sure that you saw and people were very curious about, the New England Patriots had to release Josh Gordon from injured reserve. It was kind of a strange move that they put him on IR to begin with, considering his injury was thought of as relatively minor. So as soon as he was healthy, they had to release him. He is going through the waiver process, and who scoops him up but the Seattle Seahawks? Seahawks with the 28th team in the order. 28th. I believe that that is 10 spots behind where Philadelphia's waiver claim was, which my math tells me was 18. And things obviously shifted a little bit. 15th was last week. So if things got adjusted, I have to double check. But I believe at 4-4, actually Philadelphia was at 15. So that means that Seattle at 20, no, it was adjusted. I think that since the Eagles won, they got their waiver priority got adjusted back to 18. That's why Seahawks were at 27 last week. They're 28 now, and that's where they claim Josh Gordon. Either way, it doesn't matter. The Eagles don't get him, right? It doesn't really matter where they didn't take him with the waiver priority. And it does make me curious. Starting out the season, when we talked about how strong the Eagles were and how we didn't have to worry about them, they had so many weapons, they had so much production just waiting to be unlocked. And Carson Wentz's MVP level was just around the corner, and we were waiting for that to return. I would say that the Eagles should have been super selective with talent. That is to say, I was not interested in adding Antonio Brown. I was not interested in adding Josh Gordon. I think the guys who are potential headaches can ruin teams that are poised for greatness. However, with the Atlanta loss, with the Detroit loss, with the way that the season's played out so far, coupled with the fact that these weapons have not nearly produced at the rate that we hoped that they might, I'm looking at Mac Hollins, looking at J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I would say that the standards get relaxed. It's not unlike when you're, everybody remembers those college days, or not college days, when you're in your early 20s, and you're out there looking to just have a good time and find some companionship to spend the rest of the evening hanging out and discussing things with. At the start of the show, as soon as you walk into the bar, wherever it is, you're very selective. You have strict standards, you're going to abide by those standards, and you're going to find someone who meets those standards. When the lights come on and it's last call, you're just looking for anybody who can help. It's kind of where I feel like the Eagles are now. Not saying, by the way, that I would get involved in the Antonio Brown business even today, but for Josh Gordon, that's what I would have looked at. For me, I look at Josh Gordon and I know of all of his issues. I understand that. But if somebody brings up Josh Gordon's issues to me and the struggles that he's gone through and the things that he's done and that he's had to deal with, I'd point to the fact that, like, yeah, that's true. He hasn't been available all the time. DeSean Jackson hasn't been available since week one. Mac Hollins isn't available even when he is available. And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside had one chance, one opportunity. This was his moment, and he didn't get it. So that was, you know, kind of back down the depth chart with you. You've got Miles Sanders as your only legitimate deep threat that you have on the team that's ready, available, and healthy. You've got Zach Ertz, who, truth be told, his reliability this season from a catching the ball perspective has been kind of a coin flip. And Dallas Goedert, who seems to be just as likely to make a big play as he is to get a big penalty. So these are all of the things that you were grappling with here in this city and saying, all right, well, now it doesn't look that bad rolling the dice on Josh Gordon for nothing but money in a roster spot. So for me, I watched Seattle snap him up. I watched Seattle make the move for Jadeveon Clowney. And I thought, well, that's what certified contenders do. That's what teams that are trying to stand out in really good divisions do, right? I heard somebody saying earlier today that wild card was a possibility for the Eagles. I don't know how that's going to happen when both wild cards are going to come out of the NFC West, and if not, at least one of them is going to come from the NFC North. I think it'd be a tough paper route for anybody coming out of the NFC East as a wild card. But that's what you do. When you're doing the team building, team identifying, hey, we are a contender, we're going for it, that's what it looks like. Now, Howie Roseman has the opinion this team is not a contender. If that's the case, then I applaud him for sitting on his hands and not throwing good money after bad. If you don't think that one player or one position or whatever is going to upgrade this team to the point where they can get into the playoffs or make noise once they get there, win a road playoff game, what have you. Whatever the goal happens to be when you set out, regardless of what the fans are talking about with the Super Bowl and the new norm and all that other kind of stuff, whatever you thought about this team, if they're not matching your expectations, I would argue that he learned from the golden tape trade last year that did not boost the team in the way that a lot of people hoped, as a cautionary tale to say you don't always make a move just to make a move. So Josh Gordon passes right by the Eagles, goes on to Seattle, and now we're looking more at relying on DeSean Jackson when he comes back, and maybe giving J.J. Arcega-Whiteside another look. Don't forget about Nelson Agholor either. But the state of the wide receiving core led me to believe that once he became available, the Eagles might have taken a swing. Let's go back to the phones with Demetrius and Trenton next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Demetrius?
Yo.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Going great.
I've been at work all day. And this has been on my mind, the situation with Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. Could we possibly, you know, try this guy out? We don't have to give anything up. Could this possibly be the move that makes Howie look a little better in our eyes? Like, hey, he didn't do anything at the trade deadline, but look, Josh Gordon fell in our lap.
I think he would have saved, if he would have done it instead of letting Seattle get him, I think that he would have saved some face there for sure.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. DeSean's 32. He's still dinged up. This kid's 28. Why wouldn't you just pick him up just to have him on the roster in case things go south with DeSean?
Well, I was trying to think about that too, D, because I'm trying to think of, are there locker room worries that you have? Well, you already have locker room issues.
Already,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So, like,
exactly.
He's not going to wreck it.
Right.
I don't know. Your wide receiving core is so rough that, for me, I would have done it. I would have done
suspect
it.
Suspect at best.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that they can win without him, I guess, is the question. Do you think that they're going to be able to do enough?
That's the only point that you made, that if Howie conceded and say, hey, we're just going to play this season out, we're going to let the chips fall where they may, then I can go with letting Josh Gordon pass. I can accept that. But if nobody from Howie, nobody better come out saying anything about, yes, we have Super Bowl aspirations.
Right.
None of that. Because you're not showing that. Your actions are proving to us that you don't feel like this team is Super Bowl caliber. So we're just going to stay put with what we got, and we're going to play for next season.
Well, and that's exactly what it is, right? Like, we crushed Andy McPhail for standing up there and saying, oh, if we make the playoffs, we do. If we don't, we don't. But isn't that kind of what Howie Roseman's doing through his actions?
Exactly.
So, yeah, you hit it right on the head, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. That is exactly it. Now, I do think that Howie is in a kind of strange position because you haven't seen your team at full strength. You've got important injuries to Nigel Bradham, DeSean Jackson, etc., right? I wouldn't say unit-defining injuries in terms of your offense and your defense, but certainly we've seen what the Eagles' offense looks like without a deep threat, and with a deep threat, wouldn't recognize it. We've seen what the Eagles' run defense looks like with Nigel Bradham. Without Nigel Bradham, makes a big difference. So if you're Howie, you're almost in the catbird seat by not doing anything, because if the team doesn't progress and you drop 4 out of the next 6 games or something like that, then it's like, okay, well, Howie had the foresight to recognize that this team was not going to be a threat this season, and so didn't want to invest draft picks and lose them, right? But on the flip side, he also looks good if they do turn it around, and it's like, see, Howie knew that he didn't need to invest stuff in pushing this team forward, and just knew, relied on the work that he'd already done in the offseason with Jordan Howard and DeSean Jackson, et cetera, right? So there are arguments to be made for not doing anything. Don't get me wrong, I understand that completely. But when it comes down to this one specifically, and Josh Gordon, it's not about draft picks. It's not about doing anything other than giving the guy a call and some money. That's why I view this as different than Jalen Ramsey. I view this as different than Jadeveon Clowney. Picking a guy up off of waivers, I mean, we've seen contending teams make big-time acquisitions that way, sometimes championship-level acquisitions. And who knows if Josh Gordon is that? Clearly, the Patriots, something happened. His act wore thin. They know something's around the corner. Who knows? But if the Patriots are passing, maybe the Eagles are smart to give it a long thought before not doing anything. Taking a breath before they just jump to the phone. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Ron in Cherry Hill is next on the Fanatic. Hey, Ron.
Evening. Got to be honest with you. This is one of the cases where it's just a name, and the name is better than the talent level is. Like you said, if the Patriots don't want them, that was the last time they gave up someone. They've had anybody from Randy Moss and this and that. Josh Gordon hasn't been relevant in over 2 years. I have no problem. Here's our biggest problem. Whereas Howie made some good deals that make that Super Bowl run, go look at the last 4 drafts, and Carson Wentz has got to take a lot more heat than he has. This is a guy, when you hear anybody give Carson Wentz praise, you hear the expression, he makes plays. I want a quarterback who makes throws. If you watch any game, it's not like these guys aren't open. It's almost like, I'm not comparing to McNabb, but he does not throw to anybody in stride, and he doesn't throw to anybody if it's a small window. He holds the ball. If you tell me that Nelson Aguilar is a better deep threat than Whiteside, there's something wrong with your team. Aguilar is a stiff. He had a decent year last year after an abysmal first year. He's never made, I dare anybody to give me a significant catch that guy's made. You paid him $9 million. You got Alshon Jeffrey, who with the Bears would run deep, throw it up. We don't use Jeffrey for that. We're just so out of sort right now. I'm not even worried about the defense. We won the Super Bowl because of our offense. And if Carson Wentz is want to be called as an elite quarterback, I'm not telling you he's not good, but this kid's getting a lot more praise for 8 to 10 games 3 years ago than it deserves.
Well, Ron, to be fair, I think that people do blame Wentz for the team's struggles.
Really, it's as just much.
Well, hold on, though. I would say that people give him, in terms of blame, probably like in fourth or fifth place, right? I mean, I think that that's probably accurate.
Yes, but he should be higher than that.
How? Why?
I don't hear anybody say, listen, I'm not a Nick Foles. I'm nothing like that. But this is a guy who makes plays, not throws. You know, whether you watch it Sunday, and I'm sure you will, there are guys open. He just chooses.
Well, they're second in the league in drop passes, right, Ron? So, I mean, like, they're second in the league in drop passes.
All right. Give him 15 catches. I don't know how many they dropped. Give him 15 more catches.
And 2 more wins, at least.
Still has not made those throws.
2 more wins, at least, though.
I'm not arguing this. I know that they're dropping balls, but you know what? The balls are going Aguilar, maybe a couple. Tell me any deep balls that they've missed. It's just
Nelson Aguilar and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside back-to-back.
There's three. There's three. I've watched all year. If you watch other teams, I'm not telling you don't. Other teams do this. He does not go back to it. It's easy to play the Eagles when you know a man's not going to throw the ball more than 15, 20 yards downfield. I laugh when I hear that he's responsible for that win last week. He was a game manager. Carson Wentz is not supposed to be a game manager.
All quarterbacks are, Ron.
Elite quarterback.
Ron, thanks, man. Appreciate it. All quarterbacks are game managers. That's the truth.
Who's he supposed to throw to deep? Who on this play can make a deep pass other than Miles Sanders?
And it's not Carson Wentz getting turned inside out on a double move in a 8-yard box. It's not him missing tackles. Look, I'm fully willing to concede, and I've said this before, that the possibilities crept into my mind that 2017 Carson Wentz is not coming back, and that this looks a lot more like what Carson Wentz is going to look like for his entire career. My issue is that guy should be good enough if you have a competent team, if you're doing anything defensively, if your wide receivers are, catching the ball. Like, that's where I have an issue with this. I've run over. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. This is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Dylan McKinnon is producing this evening. We're handing things off to Flyers Hockey in a matter of moments. Want to remind you that you can win the ultimate Birds fan experience. Two tickets to the Monday night game, December 9th. Field passes and a VIP tour of the ESPN truck. Eagles safety Rodney McLeod has set a goal to raise $23,000 for the American Association for Cancer Research, the largest organization dedicated to finding cures for all cancers. Go to 975thefanatic.com now. You can go to 975thefanatic.com/donate to make a donation to Rodney McLeod's Race to 23K campaign, and your donation automatically enters you for that ultimate Birds fan experience. Donate today to support cancer research, and you could win exclusively from Eagles safety Rodney McLeod, the AACR, and 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go to Lamar in Philly next on The Fanatic. Hey, Lamar.
Hey, what's up, Joe?
How you doing, man?
Not much, man. I always tell you, man, I enjoy your opinions first and foremost. I like listening to you.
Thank you.
Especially you and Devon, but Joe, I just want to get right to the point, Joe. The Eagles have always been and always will be underachievers. The best thing Howie Roseman has ever done, and he done it by accident, was bring Nick Foles back. In my opinion, he brought back a guy that basically was way more poised than what he ever thought he could possibly be on a big stage, and they got lucky. Joe, this guy will never do the things that you think he would do to absolutely bring a championship here. He got lucky once by accident. And like I said, Nick Foles made all those guys look great because he was able to go toe-to-toe with Brady.
Sure.
But if you expect for him to go and get Josh Gordon, no. He will go get you Arcega Whiteside. If you expect for him to go get DK Metcalf, no. He will get you Nelson Aguilar. I don't understand why people act so surprised. They say, well, he jumped up and got Carson. Well, guess what? Carson, on his best day, ain't half a Russell Wilson. So as long as now, I don't know what Josh Gordon is going to become. But when I got in the car and I heard you say Josh Gordon in Seattle, I could have ran off the road. I mean, you got an extremely elite quarterback. You got Tyler Lockett, who takes the top off the defense.
Yes.
So now, on top of having Tyler Lockett, you have Tyler Lockett to take the top off the defense. Now you have DK Metcalf, who was a big, physical, fast receiver. If Josh Gordon is just half of what he used to be, people saying that he's just a name, if he's just half of what he used to be, he's light years ahead of Matt Collins.
Yeah, well, that's my point, Lamar. It's like, my question's not, is he an all-pro level receiver anymore? It's, is he better than Nelson Aguilar? Like, that's the standard that I'm laying out there. And that's why I was hopeful that at this point the Eagles would kick the tires and see, because their wide receiving core has been a mess.
And, Joe, to make it even worse, not only is it a mess, Joe, it has always been a mess. The only time they got it right, it was Andy Reid. He went out and said, let me get DeSean Jackson and Macklin. And due to the injuries, you never really got a chance to see them play for as long as they should have played
right
together. But now, like I say, you look back. I don't care what anybody say. I will call you Joe 2-3 years from now because I can guarantee you'll be on the radio longer and I'll be a fan longer than Carson Wentz will be here. As long as Russell Wilson is playing, you got to go through Seattle. And I don't care what weapons they have. You already have an elite quarterback. He's been beating your head in for 4 years with no receivers. So if you give him half of anybody, ain't no telling what that guy's going to do. And for Howie not to do it, I feel the same way I felt on draft night when Andy Reid traded up ahead of us and took Mecole Hardman. He had no reason to do that. He already had Tyreek Hill. But that just goes to show you what he knows compared to when we drafted. I said, Arthega Whiteside, all the football I watch, I haven't heard his name once by accident.
Mm.
But that's exactly what we get. So my thing is, when you hear that, it's like, why do I expect the Eagles to go and beat Seattle? All the guys on the radio, that's all the other guys on the station, Mikey, everybody else, oh, the Eagles and Carson, they can do this. No, they can't do anything. They cannot beat a team like Seattle on a bad day. But then when you add players, when you continue to add players when you already have them, I'm like, this is exactly what I expect out of Howie Roseman. I don't expect nothing else.
Yeah, well, Lamar, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it and the kind words as well. When you looked at Seattle, I mean, this is kind of the second rising of the Seahawks, right? Because you saw that initial team that was put together when Russell Wilson was on his rookie deal. And then you saw a lot of those guys kind of go away as the team broke up and Wilson got the money and everything else. So you had to watch Seattle kind of retool and rebuild. And I do wonder if something like that's going to happen with the Eagles. I'm not losing faith in the team over the next 2 or 3 years to be a competitive, good team. I think that there's too many pieces in place that are really good that would allow you to not have a total disaster couple of years. But I agree with Lamar's premise, especially in talent identification, as that hasn't been Howie Roseman's strong point. When you look at Howie Roseman, I think that one of the strongest points that he has when it comes to the draft specifically is knowing where players will go. Like, I think that he understands the value placed on players on the day of the draft. But I need more. I also need to know who are going to be the players moving forward, regardless of the draft order, regardless of knowing, hey, if I want this player, I've got to get into this spot, or I could get this value if I trade back. I mean, it's more important to come out with the player. You point to Mecole Hardman, right? They've got Tyreek Hill. They've also got DeMarcus Robinson. They've also got Sammy Watkins. They've also got DeAnthony Thomas. They've got speed on speed on speed on speed everywhere. That's the plan. So people are saying, oh, it's hard to find speed. Some people find a way. Let's go to Sean in South Carolina next on The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
How you doing?
Hey, not too bad. Good. Hey, first off, man, my first point is to that previous caller that was talking about Wentz needs to take more blame. I just don't understand that, dude. Like, all these people calling out Carson saying, you know, he needs to take the majority of the blame. I don't really know what else this dude can do. Like, seems like the pocket's kind of collapsing on him pretty quick. He's having to roll out pretty fast. His open receivers aren't catching it. Like, at this point, what more can he do with what he has? You know what I mean?
I do. And he hasn't been the pinnacle of accuracy, and he hasn't always made the best decisions and things like that. But, like, my point, Sean, is that quarterbacks shouldn't have to be absolutely perfect every single week for you to have a good offensive day. Like, that shouldn't be the prerequisite. So I think that's unfair to put on Carson that he's never allowed to miss a throw or that he's never allowed to make a wrong decision.
Absolutely. And that kind of leads me into my second point, man, with the whole, like, resting up DeSean Jackson this week, going into the bye. I completely understand it. Like, I get where you're coming from about giving that extra week. You know, can we win without him? That mentality. But I think the way that the organization is looking at this week is that this is a must win. And when you're looking at a must win game, you want your best guys on the field. And honestly, DeSean's our guy. Like, everyone knows that. And if you're in a must win mentality, you want your best dudes out there. So why wouldn't you put him out? Is it taking a risk of his health? Absolutely. But I mean, if you're willing to do it and you're in that mentality, then why not take a shot?
Well, and I do. I understand completely, Sean, on the other side of it. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Sorry, we got to get to the Flyers here. Is that if you get DeSean Jackson, you're taking on an inherent amount of risk based on his injury history. Then if you look at it, you say, okay, well, you know, are you going to see a guy who's going to get injured if you throw him in there? If one more game against the Bears knocks him out of commission, then you probably shouldn't have that guy to begin with anyway. You almost kind of deserve what you get there if you're the Flyers. German Rupsov's about to make his NHL debut for Philadelphia, and the Devils are trying to get their first win in three games, so it could be a good spot here for the Orange and Black. We're bringing you the action right here on 97.5. The Fanatic pregame coverage is coming your way next. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in. My co-host for this portion of the program, I'll be back on the air after Flyers hockey. We'll be hanging out together until midnight. Dylan McKinnon, thank you very much for your hard work. Really appreciate that. Stick around. Pre-game coverage is coming your way next. It's the Flyers at the Devils, and you can hear it right here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.